Now, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Thank you, Karen. Well, we've come to the second precept. I hope you all have given it some thought this week. No stealing sounds like criminal activity. But the more we think about it, the more interesting it becomes. It's, of course, taking what is not given. But when you think that everything that we have in our life was given to us, and so in a way we're taking our language, our arts. Every art that we have is built on the arts that came before. I just heard a combination of the old Viennese composers, Beethoven and Brahms and somebody whose name I've forgotten now, but they all came one after the other, and they worked on each other's, picked it up and made it more and different. We've been doing that for millennia. And so, in a way, we've been robbing our ancestors in order to express ourselves. It's well to remember, just to be grateful. Thanks, guys. You know, thank you for this language that we have such a good time playing with this generation. But there's more to it, of course. And as usual, there are a couple of good points in here by Dido. He begins by emphasizing the Bodhidharma precepts, in which it's not possible to own anything anyway. It's all given and will all be abandoned at a certain point. It doesn't last, our owning anything. You know, I say it's my house, but it's not my house. It belongs to people I don't know, one, a piece of it, and then it'll go away. It'll be a teardown, actually, which is even better. So, to possess something, he says, to obtain something means to separate oneself from something. So as soon as we say it's my book, you know, then I don't want to give it away. It's all mine. You can't have it. You know, and kids do that. And it's a wonderful feeling in a way, but it's also an even better feeling to, oh, you need it? Here. Take it. It's yours. There is something about that feeling that we really need. It's what nourishes our whole life. He also said Dogen's teaching on this precept goes when, quote, when mind and objects are not discriminated, the gate of liberation is open. The mind means the self. Objects mean the 10,000 things, everything. Not discriminating means to experience them as one reality. They all belong in the story. Everything belongs in the story. Even the ones we don't like, maybe especially the ones we don't like. When you experience them as one reality, the gate to liberation is open. That's realization. There's one more point, and that is that do not steal means don't steal anything, anytime, any place. Constantly let go. do not grasp. Grasping is what creates so much psychic pain in us. We think we have to have it. And in some cases, it's a survival impulse that we have to have something to eat. That's the truth of it. Or at least to sustain our life, we do. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And the more we hang on to the idea of it, the less possibility we have to actually relax and let it come to us. Over and over, I've seen that in such wonderful ways. To let the universe provide and not try to make it happen. It takes patience, and it's a little bit scary, but it helps a lot. So I hope you all have stories about this subject to help deepen our understanding of it.
Are we going to leave the recorder on?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to leave the recorder on?
We don't have to.
I'm just kidding.
No, that's a good point. It is a good point. Sometimes
I'm okay.
You're okay with it. Okay. If anybody's not okay with the recorder at any time, please let us know.
I sort of have a story.
All right.
You want immunity?
I'll go first. Well, I was expecting this to be a real subtle exercise, since you gave us that hint it might be sort of subtle, and maybe I'm stealing from my partner because I'm sitting here at the kitchen sink washing dishes as I'm thinking about this. Maybe I'm stealing from my partner because I have been needing more emotional support, so I'm kind of stealing from her relaxation, or maybe I'm stealing from my sister because I'm stealing kind of her freedom because I ask too many details about her life. Maybe she doesn't want to tell me, or, I just kept on looking for these subtle things. And as I was looking out the window, I saw that my clothesline is right outside the window, and it has all these U-Haul blankets that are telling me I'm washing them because we're using them for dog realization is, I don't feel bad about that. I'm probably not going to give those back. But, yeah, there's a lot of stolen goods in my house. But I also was thinking, this is, maybe all these precepts are easier when, as you get older, especially as we go down the list, but maybe just because your awareness grows, or because maybe you start to let go easier, I'm not sure, but it seems like the grasping, which I know is a big part of my daily life, but it's less so than it used to, I think, in some way. And then I was also thinking that this and others of the precepts are so much better with good associations, like good, for example, I am such a better person because of the partner I'm with, who is so communal, like the most communal person I know, and would never think of leaving the parking lot without taking the cart back, and never think about paying less for a dog from the rescue, even if they're offering a great deal, because just that's just who she is, and so it's just appreciate, because I realize I'm such a different person, you know, just learning this, not necessarily Buddhist practices, but they are. So.
Thank you for that. You're coming to it. That's the thing. You're coming to those blankets, right? Oh, look what I did.
First step is to admit it.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Karen, for giving your experience about stealing from companies. I think that is easier for a lot of us. And this last week, my son was saying how he didn't think he was going to wear these new thongs he had bought, new flip-flops. They were too small. I said, well, we'll take them back. He said, but I wore them and I stretched them. I said, no problem. They don't look at the goods. It's easy to take them back. He just looked at me. So guess who gets to take them back? And I guess we just feel that we've been ripped off by commercial enterprises so often. It just feels good to get even sometimes, like when they give you too much change or they bring up a lower price on the register. It's like joy. And as far as not grasping so much when you get older, I think it's an individual thing. I think if you're in tight circumstances, you become very grasping. That's what I've observed.
The survival thing.
Right. Even hoarding, if you're living in insecurity, you will kind of verge onto hoarding.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen.
Thank you. I've seen that too.
This is actually a really profound example that I've had. It occurred to me when we were talking about corporations, you know, it's different from taking something from an entity, but I shop at Whole Foods, and I find I go over my bills really carefully, and I find oftentimes that I've been overcharged for something, and occasionally undercharged, but it seems like more often. It's just that it wasn't intentional, it just the code came up wrong or something like that. But if I have sort of a rule, if it's over a certain amount, I'll go back and talk to somebody. And one day I did that. I went and talked to a guy, and he was being more than generous about, well, you should come back any time that happens, even if it's under $3 or whatever. And I finally said, well, and you know, I guess I should come back if you undercharge me. And that was sort of a funny, I had never really thought about going back and giving them some money if they undercharge me. So he said, well, I would. And it was this kind of moment of, okay, well, it's sort of, he was so good, and so he gave me $15. He said, well, this ought to cover anything that you didn't come in about recently. And so now I'm honor bound, unless it's just $0.02 or something, but I will go back and give them back money.
Well, that's very interesting.
It made it more personal somehow.
Yes.
And also dealing with him, he was very, a little bit stern. I mean, generous, but stern in a way, kind of turning it around on me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a judgmental way, but just, he said, well, I would. And it was kind of like challenging me to meet his ethical standards.
Yes.
So, I will.
Gosh, that's a big job going through all of that, isn't it?
Well, and actually most of the time, it hasn't actually even happened for a while. Mm. They're really pretty good most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway. Oh, that's very cool. That's not ordinary, that's real.
No, it made me, you know, I mean, we all make jokes about Whole Foods and shopping there and stuff, but it did make me feel better about those people, the people that are in the air.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Yes. They're trying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so are you. So.
Well, now I kind of don't have any, I can't hide anymore.
True. Maybe that's another aspect of this precept that has hiding in it. And it's the kind of thing that we can kind of sneak,
get away with,
and nobody will know.
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of a kid thing.
Yes.
I went through that. I'm sure a lot of people did when they were kids. So what can you get away with and not get caught?
Always take something out of the dime store when we were kids. Very scary.
Dime store, what's that?
What is that, right? Who knows what a dime store is anymore?
I will caution you, do not spend any amount that the IRS sends you back in more than you are expecting.
Oh, what a good idea!
Just hang on to it for
because they're going to want you. They're going to want it back. You mean?
It happened to me.
Oh,
stealing from the country.
Yeah. Okay. That's true. I did. I stole from our country, but I paid back with interest.
Really, this precept is about generosity.
Yes.
And not just about money and material things.
No, not at all. It is about that, of course. That starts it. And probably did start it in the original experience with Buddha and his disciples. Probably somebody took something from somebody and then went to Buddha, and they made this rule But then it applies in such many different ways that, of course, then it becomes a very interesting teaching. And it's really about generosity.
Well, I find one thing I'm kind of, that I find necessary to be stingy with is my time. And living in an apartment house, there's of seniors, there's lots of people that want your time.
Yes.
And your ear. And sometimes I just have to close the door.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And try not to feel like you're being stingy.
Yeah.
But you can be stealing from your own time. No, this is about self-care as well as interactions with other people. So it's always important to give yourself enough time.
Off of your comment earlier about corporations, so I work in a tech industry, which is a very wealthy industry, and so we're always walking this balance between feeling that, you know, the things that we work on are actually providing a useful service to people that just helps people deal with the complexity of navigating this world, you know, and then on the other hand, being in such wealth compared to this increasing discrepancy in between rich and poor in this country and many, many other parts of the world as well, and just figuring out how to deal with it and come to a place where you feel you're still doing the right thing, you know, because there's so many things that are just completely out of your control. And I've heard many different viewpoints on that, from like very extreme suggestions saying you should not be in this industry, to you don't have anything to do with it. And I think there's truth in both of those things to some extent. But yeah, that's just a question you're dealing with, right? To what extent, even though it's all this wealth is generated through like politically correct ways, in the sense that you provide a service and so you make some money, it's not always right to be. Do you have such an odd imbalance? So, yeah. That's just a thing we're trying to constantly balance and figure out what is the right way to do.
I think that's true for everyone in the West who is.
Right.
And we're all in that situation in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're aware of how many hungry children there are in the world living on garbage dumps. And yet, here we are.
Right.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a painful dilemma.
Yeah.
More painful in an America First administration in terms of our whole country. The hopelessness of not being able to do anything about our new, I don't know if they're policies yet, but intentions to reduce aid
international. Right. Oh, we're independent of the government. We can do what we do. No. We can engage with NGOs who are independent of politics and just go that way rather than through government programs, if that's what we're going to do. Steve?
I didn't have anything at first, but since you said we were talking more about generosity, a couple things came to mind. I've been doing some volunteer work for a number of years, and originally I started doing it because I felt good about helping the cause, helping some groups that I believed in. And then after doing it for a number of years, I saw other people, other people getting involved and somehow profiting from it. And meantime, I was continuing to just be a volunteer. And it brought up a lot of feelings of resentment against people that I'm doing this and I'm not getting paid for it. But then I have to constantly remind myself why I'm doing it, because the generosity was the reason I was doing it in the first place. I wasn't doing it because I wanted to get paid. So, but it's difficult to keep that in the forefront of my mind all the time, because I see other things going on and jealousy comes out and things that, we live in this world and those things come into my mind. So, but I do better when I remember why I'm doing it and just go back to the root. And it's just all I was thinking of.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
May I add one more thing?
Please.
On the political things Carmen brought up, I've heard there's a lot of movements right now amongst groups that deal with nonprofits, and they're coming up with their own ways of organizing to get funding for each other. And I've heard about a specific project where somebody's working with this for grants, and they're having a new approach to getting funding for the causes that they're worried that are going to be cut from the current administration. And so that there's people in the community that are working to save these efforts in different ways. And
yes, I've heard about that too. We'll adjust. We're adjusting. And
I don't know if the rest of the world's going to. Pull funding from population control for the UN program.
Yeah.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah. Well, life goes on and we keep adjusting and working at it. So sometimes it's harder than others. And this is certainly one of those times. I don't have a watch.
It says 3 minutes to eight. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
I don't know which watch.
Jeffrey?
I just might add that I do find that trying to manifest, exist through this perceptual truth is being severely tested right now. I find that I've said some things that have come out of my mouth in the last 2 months that frankly shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a really hard time. A really hard time.
Yeah.
And so having this perceptual truth these 10 ways of manifesting. It's very important. Because right under the surface of so much is so much anger and frustration right now. And the actions from 2,500 miles away, it's just rippling, it's just huge waves of emotional, it's affecting people in very dark ways. And I'm glad I can come here and be with you and have an opportunity to just to be with it.
Yes. It's the best way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you. Well, thank you all. We're going to celebrate Buddha's birthday on Saturday with a half-day sit. And we're going to bring an empty vase with water in it. And you can bring flowers and offer flowers to everything as a way of doing the Buddha's birthday celebration, which is, if you have children, you could bring them it's usually a very big deal. If you go to San Francisco or Green Gulch, you'll see what a very big deal it is. But the essence is that you pour sweet tea over a little baby Buddha who is just being born, and offer incense. We don't have incense, and we thought instead of the tea, we would just offer a flower and just wish everything well. Seems like a very timely thing. It is actually what we call Buddha's birthday, the 8th of April. So it will be the time when many, many people all over the world in Soto Zen will be celebrating in this way. So we'll sit for half the day till noon, 9 to 12, and have that little service. And so come if you can. Is there anything else to mention?
Do we have someone to set up a schedule for Saturday?
Oh, I guess good question. I can set up. Is there a special setup?
Not really.
No. Okay.
I'll bring a vase.
Okay. You have a key?
I don't play that.
I brought the your key in there. I can get it.
You bring the water.
Okay.
Bring tea.
We're
not going to do the tea. Yeah.
We're making it simple.
Also, I wanted to mention that Ian Forsberg is doing Sesshin up at Chikoji. And if you have a chance, he's a wonderful teacher. And he's sitting all week with everybody, giving talks in the afternoon. So check him out if you have a chance.
If I can't make the entire time, what part of that time would you be doing the ceremony?
On Saturday, about 11:45.
The ceremony part?
Yes. Great. Okay, 1 minute sit.